We are learning Malachim Aleph, and we have these wonderful copies in front of us, which we can all, very legible. Just a drop. We're in the first perek. This is our third week learning Malachim Aleph, the first chapter. We are up to Pasuk Yud Zayin, which is on page 8. Okay. What has occurred? So we were introduced, the beginning of this parak, I should say the beginning of the Sefer, to David, who unfortunately was not doing well physically. And because his health was getting the better of him, what ended up happening was his son, just like before, now a different son, Adoniyahu, started to try to muscle his way into taking over the position of being a king. And the problem with that, as we saw, is Shlomo was the one who was supposed to be the king. Bless you. And one of the things that was done by Adoniyahu is he made a huge banquet. He had a huge barbecue and feast, inviting a whole bunch of people, but deliberately leaving some people off the wedding list, or the invitation list, I should just say, such as Shlomo. Shlomo was not invited because, obviously, he was the competition. And this got very bad, and this position of the struggle of power escalated to the point that the prophet Nasan HaNavi went to David's wife, to Bathsheba, and said, something has to be done. Because if we don't do anything about it, then Adoniyahu is going to overthrow your husband's position of power, and more importantly, your son Shlomo will not become the next king. So we're now at the Pasuk Yud Zayin on page 8, and we now see that Bathsheba enters into the place of where David is. V'tomer lo. So he asked her, what are you doing here? Why are you here? This is surprising that you came unannounced without having informed me. So V'tomer lo Adoni, so she said, I'll tell you, my master, referring to her own husband, Atonishvata Bashem Okecha La'amosecha. She speaks in a very humble manner, and she calls herself an amosecha, a maidservant, so that you swore to your maidservant, referring to herself, in the name of Hashem, Ki Shlomo b'nech yimloich acharoi, that Shlomo, which is my child, is going to end up being the next king, Vu yeshev al kisi, which would include him sitting on the royal throne. V'ata now, Hine Adoniyim Malach. What do we find? Adoniyahu is the one who is king. So Malach is, if you see in English, it says he has become king, which means that, not that he's planning on being king, but even if you're not necessarily anointed as king, but you do everything that gives the impression that you're the king, and everyone looks up to you as a king, so for all intents and purposes, he's the Malach. And here you are, you don't even realize this. And now, Adoni HaMelech Liyadata. My master, the king, David, you don't know about this. And for some reason, the Radach makes an interesting point. We know that the word Ata sounds just like the word as we read it, which means now. Ata with an Aleph, as opposed to with an Ayin, means you.
And it's the opposite. Ata means now.
Ato with an ayin means now, as opposed to with an aleph, which means you. Correct. So, if you look in the Radach wonders whether or not this is the actual proper reading, the proper letters. If you look in the Radach in Pasuk Yud Ches, he says, V'ata Adoni HaMelech lo yadat. So again, the way we translate it is, and now, my master the king, you don't know. So on this, the Radach points out, Rabim mehasofrim, the numerous scribes, that when it came to writing this parak down, in this pasuk, ta'u bezos hamila, they made a mistake with this this phrase, this sentence, this word. The kasva osa ba'alef. And they wrote this word, vi'ata, not as in now, which is with an ayin, but vi'ata with an aleph, and you, my master the king. Lefishu karav l'inyan. It sounds a little bit better. If you translate it, it flows. And you, my master the king, you didn't know about this. So therefore, a lot of people, when it came to writing down this pasuk, they wrote it wrong, or they wrote it with an aleph. Avol baruhu etzleinu. It's very clear to us. Ki hu diatab ayin. Mipi soifim hamaduyakim mipi hamasaris. So based on our traditions, our masora, as well as those who are medactic in the lashonos of exactly how things should be written, etc. So it's supposed to be with an ayin. So it's just interesting how. What I find most fascinating about this redak is not necessarily how to translate this and what has a better flow, but it shows the sensitivity of every single sentence, every single word, every letter, not just in the Torah, which we've always been told, but also in Nach, that there's a single question, then it would be pointed out, and there would be numerous people that would disagree with it. So when you have a pasuk, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense, it's not just there arbitrarily. It's there, and there's something that needs to be derived from it. And there, every letter in the Torah is accounted for, which shows how Torah is Torah's emes.
Emes
with an aleph.
What about the tuba?
Well, nah. I mean, presumably, we don't have a proof to that. We're only learning Navi, but yeah, it would be the same thing.
Which
would definitely be the same thing.
Aleph when you talk that's supposed to be. because
the pasuk has the word ve'ata twice. Is that the problem?
So that's Adonia Hamelech ve'ata.
It's the second one. Whenever there's a question, exactly the meaning of a commentary, you look at the Dibur HaMatchil, which is the bold. Which is a quotation from the pasuk. So the pasuk, the Radak quotes in the bold is Vi'ata Adoni Hamelech Lo Yodata. So the question was on the second Vi'ata, right?
The one with the ayin.
Well, they both have. They two of them do. Both of them have an ayin. The first word in the pasuk is also with an ayin, Vi'ata. So the question is which one is it referring to, and that's why sometimes the Dibur HaMatchil is helpful because the Radak is focusing his attention on those specific words of that sentence.
We're just looking at both seem to be right.
What seems to be right? With an aleph.
Ve'ata, ve'ata, and now.
Yes.
Hine Adonia Malach.
Correct.
Ve'ata Adonia Melech Lo Yadata, and now you don't know.
Actually, the way you're reading it, which is the proper way of reading it, and actually, there's more flow because it has proper balance, which
right.
is how it's supposed
right.
to be.
And now,
right.
You are the Mia Melech, the whole Kol Israel are looking at you, expecting you to do something. You're
right.
not doing anything.
The problem is, it seems the way that it would be read, the way you just translate it, is it's redundant. If we're talking about, and now I'm going to the park. And I'm not going to say, and now I'm getting ice cream. I'm going to say, now I'm going to the park and getting ice cream. You don't have to say it twice, because it's in the same sentence, and it's a conjunction connecting
the two.
Right. Well, that's the way that you address it.
You're supposed to act now. It's again, David right. is not acting when he's supposed to act.
Correct. That's absolutely but that's the reason why
that's
some people make that mistake.
For someone to become king, to push himself to be king, because you
absolutely.
Are not acting properly as a king.
That's for sure. Right, and that's how it's written in our the text is with an ayin, which is correct.
I know.
But that's what the Radak said. That some people don't know.
To you are not acting, you king. At this point, everybody's looking at you to act, and you're not doing it.
But the next one is with an aleph. I can't agree on that.
Yes, she's saying you, my king. Everybody's looking at you now, and you're not acting
right.
now.
Right. So the emphasis is You have to be proactive. Do something now. That's the repetition of now, is that you, because he's done something now, you have to counter it.
You have to do something.
Adoni Hamela. The other problem is the way the question, and we can kind of focus all our day on this one letter, is that she's speaking in such a respectful way to a king. She doesn't refer to, even though it's her husband, she calls him my master, and she refers to herself not as his wife, but Lama Secha. So the question is going to say, and you is like, you don't speak that way. It's very harsh.
But clearly, she's not an acting wife until now, because had she been an acting wife and he's called and he needs someone to warm him up, she would be in bed with him warming him up. So there's a distance between them, but nevertheless, there is his position as a king. She is the only one who could say, Ata.
Right. Yeah.
But the commentary about the Radak is on Chav, not on Yudchev.
That's what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah.
Pasuk Yudches.
We're in
Radak. Radak we just saw is from Pasuk Yudches.
It's Yudches.
Yudches, yeah. Okay, let's. So again, to me, whether you can say, well, come on, we're splitting hairs over here, to me, this is a very important Radak, because it just shows. When you are, when we hear a pasuk, we listen to the Torah reading, it's not just made up stuff. Every letter has to be exactly the way it is, because if not, there's millions of people that have been discussing it and fighting it and wondering. And so what we see is the critical text has to be accurate, to the point that they're even going to fight over a letter, an aleph or an ayin. Okay, so let's move forward. Pasuk Yudches. But Yizbach, so now, because David apparently didn't know what was going on, Bathsheba is now here to inform and to educate him of what Adoniyahu was doing. But Yizbach Shor Marie Vitzayin Nuarov, he brought different sacrifices. Marie, we said, were fattened calves. He brought them as sacrifices, but also for people to enjoy, all different forms of cattle in abundance. And he summoned all of the king's children, again referring, she's speaking to David, and she's saying, your children, but Bnei HaMelech was there. However, there's a very important person that wasn't there. There's first of all, Eliezer HaKohen, there was Eliezer HaKohen was there, Eliyahu Sar HaSava was also there, Shlomo Abdechol Okara. Now Shlomo, your servant, your son also, was not summoned. And obviously, the reason why he had a little party was not for the fun of it, because if he wanted to have a nice Thanksgiving or party, he's going to invite all of his children, not going to leave one of them out. So it's not just some nice little get-together, some little festive meal. Says the Radak in Pasuk Yudches, what is the significance of a Shlomo Abdechol Okara? The Radak says, "Kivan shlo karo shlomo besuda zu." The fact, what's David going to say? Come on, how can you make such false accusations that Adoniyahu is going to try to overthrow me? That's a preposterous. The Radak says, "I'll prove it to you because Shlomo wasn't at this meal. But karo sharbanei melech, everyone else was there. Near it, it's very clear. It's obvious." The whole reason why he had this party was to try to show his power and to become a king. All those people will be Saimich Yado. All of his strong supporters were there. And of course, one of Adoniyahu's not strong supporters, which would be Shlomo, which is greatest competition, he did not show up. He did not invite. So the fact that this is how it went down, it must be, even though I wasn't there, this must have been his intentions. And the other part, before we mentioned about Shlomo, perhaps David would think, so what? So you have Nebuch, my son, he's rebellious. So Adoniyahu, he has this party, he has some of my people, but he doesn't have any power. What power does he have? So that's why Bathsheba says, you don't understand. Let me explain to you who is specifically there. the most important one that would probably strike fear into David is Yoav Sar Hasava. Yoav, who was the general, the most powerful man, the one who led David's army, he's no longer by your side. He has now turned away from you. And now he is turning toward Adonijah. If you remember, the whole reason why he joined Adonijahu is because Yoav thought that he was going to be killed later on by Shlomo, right? As we discussed why David wouldn't have done it, and we said because David was scared of him. He was such a powerful person, Yoav was, that he would not have touched him, even though he was very upset at some of the things that he did in his lifetime, including killing his son. But the fact that Yoav Sar Hasava is not on your side, now you have some serious problems because you have a huge army that is against you. V'ata and, with an aleph, and you, Adoni HaMelech, which is, see, that's another question, Eine Kol Yisrael Alecha. All of the Jewish people, our eyes are cast toward you. We're all waiting to see you do something. L'hagid lahem, to tell them, Mi yeshiv al kisei Adoni HaMelech HaCharav. I know you're a king, but you're not going to be a king forever. You're zakein ma'od. You're exceedingly weak and sick. So you're not going to be the king forever. You can't just pass away without leaving exactly who's going to be the next king. You're just going to leave everything up in the air. We find this sometimes in Hasidic dynasties, that a person who is the Rebbe tragically passes away, and he doesn't leave a successor. So there's sometimes a dispute, should it be this guy, should it be that guy? So if the melech, the one who's in position of power, says this is the proper successor, then people will have the guidance and willingness to want to support and listen to that next person.
So what does the Radak say about that atah?
What does it say? You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's see it again. I didn't focus on that. Biata Adoni HaMelech Zehu Biata Ba'alef. So this time it's with an Aleph. V'to'im bo Ba'ayin. Some people make a mistake and use it with an Ayin. Lafi Sha'inyin Yoser Karov. Because it sounds perhaps better that it should be with an Ayin. Well, maybe, again, remaining consistent. As you said, the focus is now,
no,
and then again, now.
No, this is you. You now.
But
you attack.
But there's no now.
Everybody's
it's one or the other.
It follows the attack that this is the time. Attack, you have to act. Everybody's looking for an answer from you.
Right.
It's your place to act, to say who is going to be king after you.
Right.
No. He's as good as dead if he doesn't say anything now.
That's why I think it should have been with an iron.
No.
I think this.
No. Well, that's what the Radak says. Many people make a mistake.
How I see it.
The totem bow.
You have the attacks before. Now. You act.
But it's enough. She's saying, Adoni, my master, act.
See, the reason why people would make a mistake is Lefisha Inin Yoser Karov, that it makes better sense for it to
time
be
is
and
now.
Now. So because it sounds better, and the question is why you don't agree to that, so you wouldn't have ever made that mistake, but apparently some people felt that there's more flow in the sentences, especially that we saw a couple of sentences before. Now. So again, why does it have to say it twice in the same sentence? So it's just this emphasis of now. So maybe I would think it's with an ayin. But saying even though that may sound better, it's with an aleph. Go ahead.
Because you...
See what you started?
The king.
Yeah.
You, the king. It's not you, the man. You, the king. This is your place to act. Just you. He is in bed. He's doing nothing.
Right.
I would say you take it away from
Well, that's how you're
Yes.
You're reading it. Correct. That's the correct. That is the correct way of reading it. Absolutely.
You are not only the man who's not feeling well, who's laying in bed, trying to be warm. Adonai HaMelech.
Right. Exactly. No, that's correct. That's the proper way of reading it. So, but again, you see, once again, how sensitive the Radak is, as well as all of his sofrim, the scribes, exactly how everything should be read. Okay, let's move on. Pasuk Chaf. V'hoya kishkav Adoni HaMelech im avosav. So, it's not the nicest thing to speak about to a person who is not feeling well, but let's be honest that when my master, the king, passes away, it's part of life, and what's going to happen? Vayisi ani uveni Shlomo chatoyim. I and my child, Shlomo, will be chatoyim. Chatoy, a chet, is a sin, a sinner. And that's how it's translated over here. We'll be redeemed, deemed as sinners. If you look at Masuda Sion, Masuda Sion translates it differently. And actually, I was wondering how the stone, you would think it's the same. I'm pretty sure the stone Chumash, because this was the Haftorah, this was the Shabbos, we read from this Haftorah, which, for those that weren't sure, I announced it to kind of pay attention. Not we always pay attention to the Haftorah, but this one in particular, right. But the Masuda Sion says it, and I think this is how the stone Chumash translates it, Hu Me'inyan Chisaron. It means that we are being chaser, we're going to be missing something. And some people explain, just this is a little bit of a sidebar, that we're going to see the Radak as to what's the sin, or what's the, what exactly is she using this Lashon for after David dies. But a chet really is a chisaron, is missing. First of all, on a very simple level, it means that you're lacking in your perfection because you've made a mistake. But that's how analogists compared. I often do this project with kids when I'm waiting for my teacher to show up. They'll write their name on a piece of paper, they'll crumple into a ball, and I have them from their seats try to make a shot in the garbage. And it's all exciting, they're all happy, like, what the heck are we doing over here? And I make them, most of them miss it, and it's not by the garbage, somewhere nearby. And I say, this is what a chet is. A chet is missing the mark. You have a certain goal, certain things that we're trying to accomplish, and you have this chisaron. You missed, so to speak. You literally missed. And then I said, the idea of tshuva is to hit the mark. So I get them out of their seats, and they pick up the paper, and they throw it into the trash receptacle. So that's the concept of tshuva. But the reason why I like that, why I brought that down, is kind of like basketball, you miss the shot. And that's how the Masuda Sion translates what a chet is. It's an inyan of chisaron.
You missed.
Right, you missed. Right. But missing also sounds like you're tried, but you went this way instead of that way. Unfortunately, sometimes, and that's because, and the reality is that every person really wants to do the right thing. Sometimes we have certain uncontrollable desires that push us in directions that we know are not healthy, are not smart, but we do them because we're not always thinking for what's best in the long term. So let's look in the Radak over here. Pasuk Chaf Chatayim. Targum Yonasan. So the Targum translates it as Misuchin. What does that word mean? Kolomer Migorshin Min Hamulucha. We're going to be cast away from being a king. So that's what Chatayim means. That you're going to be sent, you're going to be pushed away. That's how he translates what chatoyim means. And again, if you would want to think about what is a sin, you're being megarshin, you're separating yourself from your source. The whole concept of doing a mitzvah is not because God just forced me to do some random act, but hopefully the concept is that when we do a mitzvah, we do a good deed, which is not the real translation, but you do something good, you're connecting yourself to your source, to your maker, to God. When you do a sin, you're distancing yourself, you're casting yourself away. So that's what a chet, a sin, is also migorshin, that you're separating yourself from your source. The Eish Mefarshim, some explain why would this happen after David's death. Imloye b'nei melech. If you don't make my son Shlomo as the king, goli avoin yelanu. It'll be very clear that there is a chetz. People will remind themselves of a sin in which I committed, which is really David. Yomru, what was the sin? Kimim ne avon shenim sabi, uben shenoylan mimeni. Well, David's not alive anymore. So even if he did sin with Bathsheba, no one cares because David's dead. But the people that are the remnants of that sin that still are alive is Bathsheba and her son Shlomo. Lo haisa lamulcha. That's the reason why. So it's interesting, the way that the Radak interprets this is that if you die and you do not make my son the king, people will say that ani uvnich Shlomo chatayim, that we're like sinners, we're like mamzerim, we're no good. And that's the reason why my son isn't the king. So it's not just my son won't be the king, but people are going to look so down upon us as though that we are sinners. So that's the interpretation. The Eishbef, which of course also goes back to David, that your reputation is at stake. Well, you're dead, but your legacy will continue. Your name. Right. The Eishbef Farshim, and there are those that explain, concludes the Radak, Keneged David Amra. She was really, in a very nice way, really drilling something to David. Ella, Shekantam Ibn Kvodo. She said it as a kinoi, which is literally like a nickname, but she said it in a little bit of a different angle. She framed it differently because of his kavod. She didn't want to speak disrespectfully that you sinned, but really what she is saying is, David, you're the one that caused all this. Remember what you did to my husband that was married before, to Ori Achiti? You threw him out to the wolves. Basically, he was to the troops. Died on the front lines, and what you did was simple. You did a sin. Kloimer, you are the chayta, you're the sinner, b'zeh. Im lo tamach shleim b'ni, ki atah nishbatali b'Hashem. So that you swore to me, first of all, people are going to say that you're the one that made that mistake with Bathsheba, but also, you will have made a sin, because ki atah nishbatali b'Hashem. You swore to me, in using God's name, that my child will be the next king. So if God, in using God's name. And so now that when David dies, if my son's not a king, retroactively, you will have sinned, David, because you broke your promise. You broke your promise. Keep your promise. So that's how the Radak learns it. No, yeah, there's all different levels. There's a Shia, there's a Chet, there's an Avon. Yeah.
Avon on a higher level of committing.
Yeah, well, they're different. Some of them are. I don't have them on top of my head, but they're definitely different levels. Some which is Baratzon. They're definitely not interchangeable. Right. So the question is, you're asking, what is the word Chatoyim as opposed to why did she choose that particular Lashon? That's a good question. Clearly, it's something in which is deliberate. She is generally translated as some type of like a negligence of some sort. But you have to get the translation down a little bit better. But nonetheless, the second interpretation of the Radak is you are the one that sinned. You made the mistake. By not allowing Shlomo to be the king, you're breaking your promise. Please, keep your promise. Pasukah, as was planned between Nasan and Bathsheba, first Bathsheba would come and break the ice, and then afterwards Nasan, in the middle of this conversation, Nasan would come in and give her support, as opposed to, as we said, well, he could have come in with her. Maybe David would have felt threatened or something. What?
The Navi would be the one, say,
Inishbata. Right. Yeah. You're right. So that, and what ends up happening, so we're going to now see, almost like last week's parsha, a lot of repetition. And perhaps that's another concept. If two people come in and we both agree to something, and one of us speaks and the other one nods, that's one level. Another thing, to really emphasize the point, is one person comes in. And then 2 seconds later, you hear a knock on the door, and another person comes in. So you're hearing the story two times, so it's more ingrained within you that, you know, this is serious. Not that it wouldn't have been serious to hear it only once, but to hear it again has perhaps a more of an impact, possibly. Let's continue Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Yagidu l'melech leimor, hini nasan hanavi. This guy, the prophet, he's here. B'yavlefne hamelech v'yishtachlo melech al apav artza. So what does even a navi do when he's in the presence of a king? He bows down. V'yomer nasan. Now nasan was granted permission to continue to speak. And we're going to see that at this point, Basheva leaves. It doesn't say it in the psukim, but we'll see that in a moment. Adoni hamelech, my master. Ata marta adoniyahu yimol chacharai. Is it true that Adoniyahu is supposed to be the one who is supposed to be the next king? But who Yeshua Akise? Is he the one who's supposed to sit on your throne? Is that who's supposed to do it? Kiyara Hayom, I'll tell you why you must have granted him permission. Because I'll tell you what's going on behind your back. Kiyara Hayom, what happened? He descended today. But Yizbak Shor Maria Vitzon Larov, same thing, brought these animals, which were sacrifices as well as food for people, a free lunch. V'yikru l'chol b'nei ha-melech, all the people, all your children were there. Osari ha-sava. He doesn't mention his name for some reason, as Bathsheba does. Bathsheba calls him Yoav Sar ha-sava, but he doesn't have to refer to him that way. Certainly the Sar ha-sava, you know who's in charge of your army. Eleviasar ha-kohen was also there, which, again, you'll notice another discrepancy that they say it in opposite order. One is Nasan Hanavi mentions the army, the one who's the general first, and then Eviasar Kohen, the Kohen Gadol, second. As opposed to Bathsheba, she mentioned the Kohen Gadol, Eviasar Kohen first, and then the general. Obviously, there's a reason for that, which you can think about why they switched. Vihinam Oyuchlim v'shayisul lefanav. They're eating and drinking in front of him. V'yomer Yechi HaMelech Adoniyahu. And they were all screaming from the top of their lungs, Yechi HaMelech, long live this wonderful king, King Adoniyahu. So the question is, how does he know that's what they're saying? He wasn't there, right? So maybe he knew who was going and who wasn't going. So possibly someone informed him. But the Metzudas David gives a more logical approach. And as soon as David in Pasuk Chaf Hey says, V'yamru, Ratzalaymer, Bivadai, Omru Yechi HaMelech Adoniyahu. I don't know this. I wasn't there, but Bivadai, for sure, this must be what was going on. If he was doing X and Y, probably what continues afterwards is Z. Probably people were acknowledging and screaming, long live the new king, long live the king Adoniyahu. So Pasuk Chavav, V'li, Ani avdecha, and as for myself, and it sounds a little bit repetitive over here, Vali, but me, Ani avdecha, I your servant. We'll see the significance of that, why he's like overemphasizing his point, as though he really wanted to be there too. We'll see. Utsadaka Kohen, he wasn't there. Ibnyahu ben Yoyada, he wasn't there either. Ushlomo avdecha lokara, and Shlomo wasn't there either. Not because maybe they didn't want to come, but lokara, they weren't asked to come. Yeah.
Listen to what he says.
Go ahead.
He tells the king that his son,
right,
invited all Bnei HaMelech.
Right.
Which is legitimizing all the boys that were invited to this party.
Right.
All except Shlomo Avdecha. He says himself, and he says that the Kohen Gadol, and so on.
Right.
And Shlomo Avdecha. Not right. Shlomo Bilcha.
Right.
Shlomo Avdecha.
Now that, it's a good question what that word means, but you see that is the same way that Bat Sheva said it at the end of Pasuk Yud Tes.
She's the Amma. She's the Amma. She would be Chotev if should he die, and he doesn't say anything.
Right.
She'd be a sinner.
She
and her son would be Chotev.
Right.
And here he says, the Bnei HaMelech, and your son, Avdecha. Not Bincha, Avdecha.
Right.
So what do you think it means?
They say everything to make David angry and protective of
showing that Shlomo is very loyal to them.
Using the word slave, is your focus
is treated as your Evan, not your son. He's treated by your sons as an Evan.
Okay.
He's not accepted as your son.
That could be another interpretation of La Masecha, that she's not necessarily just humbling herself, but she's saying, this is what will be of me and Shlomo. I will be a lowly maidservant, and my son, Shlomo, will be a slave. Interesting. And if you don't do anything, this will be the outcome. Now, there's a very... Right. So, again, this is just two people who say the same thing, and they're not even in the same room. Again, it shows... true. This is what's going to happen. Now, this is a little bit of a sidebar over here. I'm just going to say it. It'll be 30 seconds. There's a fascinating Gemara in Bava Kamma that it asks like different strange expressions, like where they originate from. So there's an expression which is the following: Shitin tachle matui lekacha. Which means that when a person has 60 types of disorders with their teeth and their gums, when a person has the pain, pain with their teeth, it's such unbelievable pain. You don't want to eat anything. But the expression goes, even a person has 60 types of sicknesses with their teeth and gums, to kol chavre, that when their friend calls them to eat, shama, they listen, v'lo achal, will they not certainly eat? They will eat. So when they have an opportunity to enjoy a delicious free meal, even if they don't necessarily want to eat it, because it's so much pain, they'll do it anyway. That's an expression. They said that it's derived from here, because this is actually what Nassan was saying when he says "vali ani." Why does he emphasize so much that I didn't come to this party? It's because he also wanted to come. Not necessarily did he want to come because he felt it was something which he wanted to associate himself with. This is what the Gemara says. It's cute.
So what are they saying? No. They pulled his teeth?
No, I'm not exactly sure that idea.
If he's in a position to be able to come into the king's room when his Amma is in the room, he is very close to the king, where he's saying, I was not invited.
Right.
Because they knew that I...
Right. That's true.
I don't belong there. I don't belong there because I am your...
Right. Well, that's certainly the simple explanation, the correct translation of that. That we were handpicked not to be at this party because of my connection to you.
That's it.
Absolutely. Okay, let's move on. Pasuk Chav Zayin. Im eis Adoni HaMelech niya hadavar zeh. If this is possible, you king, that you would be able to understand and comprehend the words that I just said. V'lo hadatas avdecha miyeshim al kisei Adoni HaMelech acharai. This is as a rhetorical question, as it's translated on page 9. And you have not informed your servant who will sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. It says, how is it possible that you're able to do this? That you're just not doing that which you're supposed to do by educating people exactly what's going to be happening. Pasuk Chav Tes. Vayad HaMelech David. I want to get to Pasuk Lamed. Vayad HaMelech David. So the king answered. Vayomer, he said, Kiruli Levash Sheva. Bring in Bath Sheva. So the Radak says that Lo Yatsa mihacheder, she didn't really leave the room. Abul rechaka mimenu ma'at, she was a little bit away, because he was older. Bashem, when she spoke to him, she probably had to speak very closely to him. She moved away, and Nasan had to move closer. So then he's saying, please have Bashem come back to me, so that I'll be able to speak to her. That's how the Radak interprets it. So, again, probably because he was not feeling well, so it was hard for him to hear also, perhaps. And that's why he had to be closer than she. And now that he wants to have a conversation with Bashem, he's summoning her back. But Tavu lifnei HaMelech, v'ta'amu lifnei HaMelech, he should come before the king and she should stand before the king. And that, of course, she did. Yishav HaMelech v'yomar. And here, the king goes again, making more promises. Chai Hashem, I swear, again, using God's name, Asher Podes Nafshi Mikol Tzara, the God who has been so kind as to redeem me from all of my woes and misfortunes, that God who I've done so much for, I would never let down. And therefore, when I use this shmua, this language, certainly I'm not going to back down on my promise. Ki kasher nishbati loch b'Hashem Elokei Yisrael Emor, just as it was already promised, as I already did promise, using Hashem's name, that ki Shlomo b'nech yimloch acharai, that Shlomo, your child, will be the next king, he'll be my successor, v'yeshiv al kisi tachtoi, and he'll sit in the exalted throne underneath me, ki kein esa hayom hazeh, I'm going to do the same thing today. In other words, I do recall that I made that shvua. Perhaps I should have spoken up before, but the past is the past. I acknowledge, and I'm going to now do something and be proactive. And I'm going to make sure that he will be the king. But Tikod Basheva, so how does Basheva respond to this wonderful news? But Tikod Basheva Paim Eretz, the Tishtachvu Amelech, so Basheva prostrates, bows down to the king. V'toymer yichi Adoni HaMelech David l'olam. So this Nebuch, her husband, is very sick, and he's dying. So what do you say to a person who's sick and dying? Yichi, you're going to live l'olam, forever. It could mean you're going to live a long life, but if you look at the English translation on page 11, may my Lord King David live forever. David HaMelech is not going to be living forever. No one is going to be living forever. And poor David HaMelech, we've just been having this whole conversation. In fact, she said, you're going to die soon. So what does it mean, Yechi Adoni HaMelech David L'Olam? It's, she's...
Your good name.
Let's see how the Radak interprets it. The Radak says, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Perish Chai Nefesh L'olam haba. Ki b'olam hazeh korav ha'olam isa. You're going to die. I mean, I'm not going to wish you a long life, because you're not going to... You're not. You're 70. Unfortunately, your 70 may be equivalent to 170, because the way that you lived your life. So you're not going to live much longer. So for me to give you a false, empty blessing of saying you're going to live a nice long... many more years on this earth, it's just not going to happen. But what I meant of chai, of the essence of life, the eternal world, that's what I'm referring to. V'chein targum yonasan yiskayim v'chol shar yichi hamelech targum yitzalach. And we're going to see this next week in the Radak and Pasuk on the Dalet, that interchangeable of the word life is success. Even though this is out of order, if you look at the very, very last line of the Radak, which again is in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, which we're not going to see. Yeah, he says, Ki tefila al hachayim, when it comes to praying regarding life, we say hatzlacha. We wish for success. A very powerful five words. Ki einam chayim blo hatzlacha. If you do not have success, you have no life. What does that mean, you have no life? Because success means that you're accomplishing things. You're not just remaining stagnant and not doing anything, not helping anyone. If you're just sitting around and only focused on yourself and not accomplishing, that's not really life. So what she was saying, if Yechi Adoni HaMelech David Olam, first of all, could mean, as we're saying, based on the Radak, that you should have success. However you're going to accomplish my son being the next king, it should be with Chaim. It should be with life. In other words, you should be able to use your life now with success to be able to accomplish those goals, which we're going to see how he does that. He's going to end up showcasing his son on a mule, which we'll see next week. But on the simple level, which I think you touched upon, it has to do with the legacy, the dynasty.
We still see David Melech Israel, Chai.
Some better than others, yes.
But we all sing it.
Right.
And we're studying here, and we're talking about it.
Right. So when it comes to David's life, it's not necessarily his physical himself. It could be referring to his children, his descendants, that carry on his belief system, his name. And that's probably what we mean when we sing that song, right? David Melech Israel Chai V'Kayom. Where there's no, David's not alive, there's no Malchus, but that which David represents lives within all of us. And therefore, that is the message that Bathsheba is giving to David, that you should be able to do whatever you need to do with success in order that your legacy should continue for generations to come. Stop here.